Thanks for listening to this sermon recorded at Holy Innocents Episcopal Church during one of our principal services. This sermon was based upon the lectionary readings for the day. To stay connected at Holy Innocents, friend us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, or check us out on the web. Thanks for listening, and stay connected.
I don't know about you, but I feel like there's been a lot of voices in the wilderness lately. From Missouri, where voices of conflict, frustration, and desperation have cried loudly, along with actions and results many cannot fathom. From New York, where similar voices have wept and mourned. And just next door in South Carolina, juxtaposed to these others, the response has brought differing results just in the last few days. And then from Yemen yesterday, just yesterday, where we had hoped for liberation yet saw defeat. Hong Kong, where liberty still cries and cowers amidst fear and oppression. Afghanistan, among others, many others, where violence still reigns and names will be in the prayers of the people. The voices in the wilderness are loud, numerous, and ever before us. And for the first time in a generation or two or three, wherever you are in the midst of this, well, we feel like there is a watershed moment before us, yet solutions elude us. Truth be told, we still long for a day when violence is no more heard in our land, ruin or destruction is not within our borders. We still long for a day when all portals, all doorways are praise, where justice rolls down like water and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. For unlike the psalmist claims, mercy and truth, they have not met together. Righteousness and peace, it doesn't seem they have kissed one another. And yet, did you hear it? Did you hear the gospel begin with those words, the beginning? The beginning of the good news of Jesus. It is so easy to fall victim to cynicism, blame, and intellectual exercise aimed at distancing us from the real gospel needs of today's world. Any of us can say that crooked places have yet to be made straight. And it is oh so easy to say it must be someone else's fault, someone else's problem. It is much harder to say, let the beginning of the good news begin with me. For tilling up the soil and planting new seeds, tearing down the walls that separate us and building new dreams, God's dreams. Well, all of these take hard work. You've got to show up. Yet as the gospel narrative makes so abundantly clear, the work of Jesus does not begin with fixing someone else. The work always begins with you and me. God among us, dwelling among us, with us, Emmanuel. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ is the beginning that happens when you embody Jesus. Cynicism and self-righteousness, so easily claimed in light of the news lately, these simple reactions are futile and do nothing but perpetuate the very problems that they supposedly abhor. Our desire for simple solutions to complex problems must yield to the work of transformation the transformation that takes place when we seek to be more like Jesus. To let the beginning of the one we claim as Savior in word become the beginning of how that Savior directs us to live in our daily lives. For this reality of God's beginning, the reality of the good news, the way that the crooked will be made straight and the rough places made plain, must begin with you. In today's world, we can be addicted to information about everyone else and every other place at the click of a button. We can fill our days with doing nothing but spying on other people and finding out what they're up to and what their post or tweet might say. We are full of opinions about how others need to act. And so, we too often sit by waiting for the good news to show up, to do its thing, wondering from our comfortable places why the prophecy of Isaiah cannot finally be more than a refrain in Handel's Messiah, all the while missing the very reality of the good news in our lives. And so the question the gospel asks you and me today is the question the gospel asks week after week after week. Am I willing to let God change me? When was the last time that the beginning of the good news of Jesus required you to do something prophetic? When was the last time that the good news of Jesus beginning in you required you to embody the dream of Isaiah? When was the last time that you were the person to smooth something over that was rough? When was the last time that you made straight a place that was crooked? When was the last time that you dared to be Jesus in this world? When was the last time you gave up a deeply held belief for the sake of God's new beginning? For me as a priest, I have to deal with the reality that the church has often been an instrument of ending and not beginning. That the church in all her glory has failed at times to be the beloved community, to be the city on a hill, to be a place where all God's children can walk hand in hand. And I have to ask myself, what am I willing to let go of? How am I willing to be changed for the sake of the beginning of the good news of Jesus? My beloved, there are many wildernesses in the world today. Tuning in to whatever medium provides your news is about like tuning into an abyss. Do not allow the darkness to overcome your light. Do not allow that darkness to overcome the beginning. Do not allow that darkness to squelch good news. For the seeming unfulfillment of the prophecy could deter you from spreading the very news the world most needs. And in this season of holiness, you are asked to embody God's bright star to all those who are forgotten, so that the darkness of the night will not prevent more mangers in Bethlehem. For in Christ there is always a beginning. And as Jesus' disciples, we must always remember that in his darkest hour, in the time that the good news seemed nothing but a promise of the past, when the disciples were down and depressed, disappointed, thinking that voices would always cry in the wilderness, Jesus burst forth. in new life so that the beginning could be possible in you. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ. God has acted. God is acting. Together we must begin. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, it was John that baptized with water, but Jesus that did so with the pesky Holy Spirit. Allow the Spirit to begin in you. God will take care of the rest.